From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
This convention will come to order!
That was the opening of the morning session of the 2020 Republican National Convention in Charlotte, North Carolina. The president was an unexpected guest in the morning, speaking before a live audience, something that did not happen during last week's Democratic National Convention, and a rather enthusiastic one at that.
And by the way, just came out that we have received 51% in the big and very important Rasmussen poll, and my numbers actually went up during the Democratic National Convention. 51%. So, think of it. Think of it. Thank you. I love this state. I like this place. And you're from all over the place, but this has been a good one for me. No, but think of it. So we're at 51% in Rasmussen. Do you read about it? Do you hear about it? You don't hear about it. They give you these suppression polls where they do registered voters instead of most likely. It's supposed to be likely. In other words, how about you? You're likely to vote. But how about you? You're registered, but I'm not voting. But see, under their plan, where they send these ballots, you don't have to want to vote. You get the ballot. And then they have harvesting. They get guys to go, do you want to vote? No, not really, but I have a ballot. All right, good. Who's it for? Sleepy Joe Biden. I'll put it here, son. Okay, could I have it? And they'll take it. In fact, harvesting is illegal in your state. They wanted to put a Republican, fine man, a pastor. They wanted to put him in jail because he harvested. Now they want to make harvesting legal all of a sudden. Right. They'll put him in jail as a Republican, right? If he was a Democrat, they wouldn't even be thinking about it. In California, they do the same thing. No repercussion. And now they want to make it all so that everybody can harvest because they know it's not a good thing. If you talk about 80 million ballots, it's 80 million. Could even be higher than that. I used to say 51 million. Now it's 80 million. They said, sir, you're a little obsolete with the 51. I said, all right, what is it? 80. I said, 80. How is it possible to think of it? They'll be sending them. They'll be dumping them in neighborhoods. There'll be people are going to be picking them up. They'll be bribing. They'll be paying off people to grab some. This is going to be one of the greatest scams. And it's common sense. This has nothing to do with politics. It's common sense. Anybody, you don't have to know politics. They're going to mail out 80 million ballots. Who's mailing them? Mostly Democrat states and Democrat governors. Well, supposing they don't mail them to Republican neighborhoods, that means they're not going to get them. So they're going to complain and the election's going to be over and then they're going to complain and then they'll say, oh, well, we didn't get it. Big deal. In the meantime, you might lose the election. This is the greatest scam in the history of politics, I think. And I'm talking about beyond our nation. And they act like they're aggrieved. Like by saying this, we're saying such a horrible thing. We're not patriotic by saying this. No, we voted during World War I. We voted at the voting booth during World War II. The pandemic, we're doing very well, and people know how to handle it. Look at the crowds. They're doing very well. It's very safe. It's going to be very safe. If you have an absentee ballot where you request it, we're all in favor of that. Absentee, like in Florida, they have absentee is good. But other than that, they're very, very bad. There'll be millions of ballots. Take a look at New York. Take a look at Virginia. Take a look at New Jersey. All different cases. They just had one last night. Now they're thinking about recalling certain elections that took place with mail-in. And these are small little elections that are locally based that are easy to run. Not millions, but thousands of ballots. Thousands. Hundreds of ballots. But these are small, and they can't control it. They said 23% of the ballots were defective. What does defective mean? It means fraud. It means a lot of things that we won't get into because I don't want to be accused. You see all the cameras back there? It's the fake news. I don't want to be accused of anything. But what it means is They're trying to steal the election from the Republicans. That's what it means. In a very, very nice way, I will tell you, they are trying to steal the election, just like they did it last time with spying, and we caught them, and that included President Obama, and that included... That included... let's be nice, Biden. This could only happen in North Carolina. But that included them, and they got caught. And then somebody said, well, what are you going to do? Well, we can't attack a president. Oh, I see. If it was me. They said, we can't attack a president. We caught him. We caught him cold. And they say, we can't attack. He was at meetings talking about it. And by the way, this was spying before and after. And I think it's a disgrace to our country. I think we can never let that happen again. But now they're doing something that in a certain way is more dangerous because it's more effective. They spied on my campaign. You know what they found? Nothing. But this is big stuff. This is stealing millions of votes, and it's going to be very hard. Now, we're in courts all over the country, and hopefully we have judges that are going to give it a fair call, because if they give it a fair call, we're going to win this election. The only way they can take this election away from us is if this is a rigged election. Right. We're going to win this election. Right. We're going to win this election. So I'm just saying, we cannot have these live, we call them live. Some people call them universal. I like the word live. These live mail-in ballots sent to everybody, including mostly people that never asked for them. Think of it. You're sitting there, you get a ballot. Here's the bottom line. It was just given that in the polls, believe it or not, that because the polls try and treat us, that's why I respect Rasmussen, because they did well. A few of the others feel the same way, and they did well last time. Those are the ones that I look at, the ones that did well last time. And Rasmussen was very good. But if you look at it, every single vote that they have, every single vote, it's going to be looked at. A man is sitting, or a woman is sitting, waiting for nothing, watching television, has no enthusiasm. Because on enthusiasm, the polls are saying that I'm up by massive numbers, not just a little. I'm also up on the economy, by the way, put it down. Way up. But I'm up by massive. And when I say I'm up, I'm talking about we're up. Okay, so if you could, please.
We love you, Mr. President.
Up by massive numbers on enthusiasm. So our voters are saying, I'm very angry about this. I'll go to the poll directly and vote. But their voters are saying, I don't care if Biden gets in. He doesn't have any enthusiasm. When you go to Ohio, when you go to Wisconsin, when you go to North Carolina, when you go to a lot of states, they have the Trump-Pence sign on every lawn. It's all over the place, right? It's all over. We don't see Indiana, too. Indiana's great. Bobby Knight. We love Bobby Knight, too, I'll tell you. We love Bobby Knight and Coach Holtz and all of them. They love us, and we love them. Indiana's great. Thank you. But here's the thing. So if they don't have any enthusiasm, so you'd say, are you going to vote? I'm not getting up to vote. Okay. I want to watch television instead of vote. All right. But here's a ballot. It just got to you. And he opens it. Oh, here's a ballot. What the hell am I going to do with this thing? And then they have somebody knocking on your door, and they're harvesting. Hey, have you gotten your ballot? Yeah, I have my ballot. You going to sign it? Well, if you want, I'll sign it. Here it is. Get out of here. That's the most honest way of doing it. And that's unfair. That's unfair. Because now they're taking all of that enthusiasm that our party has. And we have tremendous enthusiasm. I think we have record enthusiasm. We have a base. We have a base the likes of which nobody's seen, including these people. Wall Street Journal did a fantastic story this weekend, a fantastic cover story this weekend on this base. Is an incredible base. Everybody here is going to vote. Everybody in our base. I mean, we have a tremendous base. They don't. They have no enthusiasm for their candidate. Because, frankly, Bernie Sanders, they have much more enthusiasm for him. But Bernie Sanders, excuse me, you know, again, he's the greatest loser I've ever seen. This guy can lose and be so happy. Hillary Clinton, I want to use nice language, so I don't want to use a certain word. It starts with the word S-C. I don't want to use it because they'll say, he used foul language while in North Carolina. But so I won't do that. But Bernie Sanders got taken advantage of, is that okay? By Hillary Clinton, but worse, by the Democrats this time. Because of Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren, got out of the campaign one day prior to the Super Tuesday vote, Bernie Sanders would have won every single state because Biden won by a little bit. And she didn't do well, but she took thousands and thousands of votes away in each state. If you add just a percentage of those votes back, that means that Bernie would have won easily the nomination. And I'm glad he didn't because he had much more enthusiasm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he would have had a base, a small, much smaller base than ours, but equally, I have to say this, equally as enthusiastic. Mm-hmm. This base doesn't like Joe Biden.
Among those featured on Monday by the Republicans was a Southern Democratic elected African-American official, Georgia State Assembly member, Vernon Jones.
My name is Vernon Jones, and I'm a state representative from the great state of Georgia. As you can see, I'm a man of color, and I'm a lifelong Democrat, too. You may be wondering, why is a lifelong Democrat speaking at the Republican National Convention? And that's a fair question, and here's your answer. The Democratic Party does not want black people to leave their mental plantation. We've been forced to be there for decades and generations. But I have news for Joe Biden. We are free. We are free people with free minds. And I'm part of a large and growing segment of the black community who are independent thinkers, and we believe that Donald Trump is the president that America needs to lead us forward. This is no time for sleeping in the basement. Joe Biden has had 47 years to produce results. But he's been all talk and no action, just like so many of the Democrats who've been making promises to the black voters for decades. We've been their captive audience. When President Trump sought to earn the black vote, the Democratic Party leaders went crazy. Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer literally started wearing kente cloths around the U.S. Capitol, as if pandering were enough to keep us satisfied. Let me tell you why I'm supporting our president. I grew up in the South, in Laurel Hill, North Carolina, Scotland County, the Green Pond community to be exact. My parents, Robin and Rufus Jones, built with their own hands a four-room cinder block home with no indoor plumbing. They had very limited education, but they instilled in us a strong work ethic that drove me from those tobacco fields of North Carolina to those hallowed halls of the Georgia General Assembly. My parents taught me if I believed in God, worked hard, and treated every person fairly, there was no limit to what we could achieve. I attended North Carolina Central University, an historical black college. For generations, HBCUs have been the incubators that develop black scholars in math and science and religion, engineering, and politics. They have been important springboards for the black success. But Democrats haven't treated them that way. When President Trump took office, he changed everything. He delivered historic funding to HBCUs, and he guaranteed it for 10 years, something that's never happened in the history of this country. That gave our HBCUs stability, the chance to grow, and produce the next generation of black leaders. That's right, Donald Trump did that. He's also supported school choice to ensure that no child, no matter their race or zip code, is left behind. Every child should have access to a quality education. But education is just the beginning. The president also built the most inclusive economy ever, with record low unemployment for African Americans and record high participation in the workforce. He put opportunity zones in the Trump tax bill that would drive investment into our communities for decades to come. He put the interests of American workers, and especially black workers, first. That's right, Donald Trump did that. He delivered historic criminal justice reform. He ended once and for all the policy of incarceration of black people, which has decimated our communities, caused by no other than Joe Biden. Democrats wouldn't do it. Obama didn't want to do it. And Joe Biden and Kamala Harris definitely wouldn't do it. But Donald Trump did it. He's also working every day to make our communities safer. As a former executive of DeKalb County, Georgia, I directed one of the largest public safety departments in the Southeast. I've seen tragic shootings on both sides. Officers killing citizens and citizens killing officers in the line of duty. Police officers are our fellow citizens. They live in our country. They have families too. They live in our communities. Unfortunately, Democrats have turned their backs on our brave police officers. They call it defunding, and it's a danger to our cities, our neighborhoods, and our children. Isn't it ironic that Democrat politicians have personal security to protect them? So why don't they forego their security and replace them with social workers, especially since that's what they want for you and me? Our police need more funding, not less, for frequent psychological examinations, for non-lethal remote restraint technology, and for more de-escalation and use of force training. These are the common sense solutions that President Trump supports. True, sincere police reform. That's right. Donald Trump did that too. Education, jobs, safety, security. On issue after issue, and in just a single term, he destroyed these negative forces that have victimized the black community for decades. He gave us the opportunity to rise. Now, you know, when I made the public announcement of my support for President Trump, all hell broke loose. I was threatened, called an embarrassment, and asked to resign by my own party. Unfortunately, that's consistent with the Democratic Party and how they view independent thinking black men and women. But I'm here to tell you that black voices are becoming more woke and louder than ever. The Democratic Party has become infected with a pandemic of intolerance, bigotry, socialism, anti-law enforcement bias, and a dangerous tolerance for people who attack others, destroy their property, and terrorize our own communities. That's what this election is all about. And that's why right now, more than ever before, America needs Donald Trump in the Oval Office for another 4 years. God bless you, and vote Donald J. Trump. Thank you.
South Carolina Senator Tim Scott also spoke in glowing terms about President Trump.
To all of you tuning in and participating in the political process, God bless you. This isn't how I picture tonight, but our country is experiencing something none of us envisioned. From a global pandemic to the deaths of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, 2020 has tested our nation in ways we haven't seen for decades. But regardless of the challenges presented to us, every 4 years, Americans come together to vote, to share stories of what makes our nation strong and the lessons we have learned that can strengthen it for further generations. Because while this election is between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, it is not solely about Donald Trump and Joe Biden. It's about the promise of America. It's about you and me, our challenges and heartbreaks, hopes and dreams. It's about how we respond when tackling critical issues like police reform, when Democrats called our work a token effort and walked out of the room during negotiations because they wanted the issue more than they wanted a solution. Do we want a society that breeds success or a culture that cancels everything it even slightly disagrees with? I know where I stand because you see, I am living my mother's American dream. My parents divorced when I was 7 years old, and we moved in with my grandparents into a 2-bedroom home with me, my mom, and my brother sharing a room and one bed. My mom worked 16 hours a day to keep food on the table and a roof over our heads. She knew that if we could find the opportunity, bigger things would come. I thought I had to use football to succeed in life, and my focus on academics faded away. My freshman year, I failed out. I failed four subjects: Spanish, English, world geography, and even civics. Trust me, though, after 7 years in the Senate, I know I'm not the only one in Congress who failed civics. But even while I was failing the ninth grade, my mother always said to me, "Timmy, if you would just shoot for the moon, even if you miss, you'll be among the stars." She never lost faith in me, even when I lost faith in myself. Because of her encouragement, I went to summer school and caught up. The next year, I met my mentor, John Moniz, a Chick-fil-A operator. John saw something in me that I could not see in myself and started teaching me valuable life lessons. Like having a job would be a good thing, but creating jobs would be even better. That having an income could change my lifestyle, but creating a profit could change my community. He planted the seeds of what would become Opportunity Zones. This initiative that the president and I worked together on is now bringing more than $75 billion of private sector investment into distressed communities. I took those lessons to heart and started putting the pieces of my life back together. I realized a quality education is the closest thing to magic in America. That's why I fight to this day for school choice, to make sure every child in every neighborhood has a quality education. I don't care if it's a public, private, charter, virtual, or a homeschool. When a parent has a choice, their kid has a better chance. And the president has fought alongside me on that. Later in life, I started my own small business. That's why I know it is critical for us to have a tax code that encourages growth. We actually saw revenues to the Treasury increase after we lowered taxes in 2017. Rest assured, the Democrats do not want you to know that. After starting my small business and spending some time in local government, I decided to run for Congress in 2010. The district is based in Charleston, South Carolina, where the Civil War started, against a son of our legendary Senator Strom Thurmond. You may be asking yourself, how does a poor black kid from a single-parent household run and win in a race crowded with Republicans against a Thurmond? Because of the evolution of the Southern heart. In an overwhelmingly white district, the voters judged me not on the color of my skin, but on the content of my character. We live in a world that only wants you to believe in the bad news, racially, economically, and culturally polarizing news. The truth is, our nation's arc always bends back towards fairness. We are not fully where we want to be, but I thank God Almighty, we are not where we used to be. We are always striving to be better. When we stumble, and we will, we pick ourselves back up and try again. We don't give in to cancel culture or the radical and factually baseless belief that things are worse today than in the 1860s or the 1960s. We have work to do, but I believe in the goodness of America. The promise that all men and all women are created equal. And if you're watching tonight, I'm betting you do too. Over the past 4 years, we have made tremendous progress towards that promise. President Trump built the most inclusive economy ever. 7 million jobs created pre-COVID-19, and 2/3 of them went to women, African Americans, and Hispanics. The first new major effort to tackle poverty in a generation. opportunity zones. We put hard-earned tax dollars back in people's pockets by cutting their taxes, especially for single-parent households like the one I grew up in, cutting single mothers' taxes 70% on average. President Trump supported these tax cuts for those single moms and other working families and signed these policies into law, and our nation is better off for it. So, I'm going to ask you, the American people, not to simply look at what the candidates say, but to look back at what they've done. This election is about your future, and it is critical to paint a full picture of the records of Donald Trump and Joe Biden. Joe Biden said if a black man didn't vote for him, he wasn't truly black. Joe Biden said black people are a monolithic community. It was Joe Biden who said poor kids can be just as smart as white kids. And while his words are one thing, his actions take it to a whole new level. In 1994, Biden led the charge on a crime bill that put millions of black Americans behind bars. President Trump's criminal justice reform law fixed many of the disparities Biden created and made our system more fair and just for all Americans. Joe Biden also failed our nation's historically black colleges and universities, heaping blame on them as they fought to ensure our young folks had access to higher education. Once again, to clean up Joe Biden's mess, President Trump signed into law historically high funding for HBCUs, as well as a bill to give them permanent funding for the first time ever. And now Joe Biden wants to come for your pocketbooks. Unless, of course, you're a blue state millionaire. I'm serious. That's one of their solutions for the pandemic. They want to take more money from your pocket and give it to Manhattan elites and Hollywood moguls so they get a tax break. Republicans, however, passed President Trump's once-in-a-generation tax reform bill that lowered taxes for single moms, working families, and those in need. So when it comes to what Joe Biden says he'll do, look at his actions, look at his policies, look at what he already did and what he didn't do while he's been in Washington for 47 years. Ladies and gentlemen, people don't always see those failures because they think we're having a policy debate on two sides of an issue. That is not what is happening. Our side is working on policy while Joe Biden's radical Democrats are trying to permanently transform what it means to be an American. Make no mistake, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris want a cultural revolution, a fundamentally different America. If we let them, they will turn our country into a socialist utopia. And history has taught us that path only leads to pain and misery, especially for hardworking people hoping to rise. Instead, we must focus on the promise of the American journey. I know that journey well. My grandfather's 99th birthday would have been tomorrow. Growing up, he had to cross the street if a white person was coming. He suffered the indignity of being forced out of school as a third grader to pick cotton, and he never learned to read or write. Yet, he lived long enough to see his grandson become the first African American to be elected to both the United States House and the United States Senate in the history of this country. Our family went from cotton to Congress in one lifetime. And that's why I believe the next American century can be better than the last. There are millions of families just like mine all across this nation, full of potential, seeking to live the American dream. And I'm here tonight to tell you that supporting the Republican ticket gives you the best chance of making that dream
a reality.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.